Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Plutocrats, The Rise of the New Global Super Rich and the Fall of Everyone Else is a work of reported political economy by journalist Chrystia Freeland, first published in 2012. The book examines the emergence of a global class of ultra-wealthy individuals whose fortunes, influence, and social networks increasingly separate them not only from ordinary citizens, but also from the broader affluent class. Freeland combines interviews, business reporting, economic history, and examples from finance, technology, emerging markets, and philanthropy to explain how wealth became concentrated at the very top. Her purpose is not simply to describe luxury consumption, but to analyze how extreme wealth changes incentives, political power, identity, and democratic life. The book is especially concerned with the top 0.1%, a group that often sees itself as meritocratic, international, and socially beneficial, while also benefiting from economic structures and political choices that widen inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the rise of the 0.01% as a class distinct from the ordinary rich. A central contribution of plutocrats is its insistence that the usual contrast between the 1% and the rest of society is too broad to explain modern inequality. Freeland focuses on the very top of the income and wealth distribution, where gains have accelerated far faster than among professionals, executives, and ordinary high earners. This distinction matters because the political and social behavior of billionaires is not simply a more intense version of upper-middle-class life. Their wealth allows them to shape institutions, move capital globally, employ expert advisors, and participate in elite networks that are inaccessible even to many affluent people. Freeland treats this group as a class with shared assumptions, shared spaces, and shared interests, despite national differences. The book, therefore, shifts the discussion from resentment of wealth to analysis of concentration. It asks what happens when the largest rewards in capitalism accrue to a tiny group whose economic distance from everyone else becomes so great that ordinary democratic constraints and social obligations begin to weaken. Secondly, globalization creates fortunes that are less tied to national communities. Freeland presents the new super-rich as a genuinely global elite. Many plutocrats operate across borders, invest across continents, educate their children in international institutions, and build social lives around places such as Davos, London, New York, Moscow, Dubai, and Silicon Valley. This global mobility changes the meaning of wealth because the richest individuals can compare tax systems, regulatory environments, labor markets, and political risks in ways ordinary citizens cannot. Their primary reference group often becomes other global elites rather than fellow citizens. That shift has political consequences. If a billionaire views opportunity, talent, and obligation through a global lens, national redistribution or regulation may appear parochial or punitive. Freeland does not portray this cosmopolitanism as inherently corrupt, since global markets can reward innovation and expand opportunity. Her concern is that extreme mobility weakens the reciprocal bargain between wealthy citizens and the societies that provide infrastructure, legal systems, education, and political stability. The super-rich can benefit from national institutions while increasingly imagining themselves above national dependency. Thirdly, meritocratic self-belief coexists with luck, policy, and structural advantage. Plutocrats pays close attention to how the super-rich explain their own success. Unlike hereditary aristocrats, many modern plutocrats describe themselves as workers, builders, dealmakers, innovators, or competitors who earn their wealth through intelligence and effort. Freeland treats this self-understanding seriously because many contemporary fortunes were made in business, finance, technology, and emerging market capitalism rather than simply inherited. At the same time, the book complicates the meritocratic story. Great wealth often depends on timing, deregulation, access to capital, winner-take-most markets, political transitions, network effects, and proximity to decision-makers. A person can be talented and hardworking, while also benefiting from conditions that magnify rewards far beyond individual contribution. This ambiguity is one of the book's most important analytical points. Freeland avoids reducing plutocrats to villains, but she also resists accepting their self-justifications at face value. The result is a more useful account of inequality, one that separates personal ability from the institutional arrangements that determine how much that ability is allowed to capture. Fourthly, financialization and deregulation help explain extreme top-end gains. Freeland links the rise of the super-rich to changes in the structure of capitalism, especially the growing power of finance and the loosening of regulatory limits. The book discusses Wall Street professionals, investment banking, and the broader shift toward financial mechanisms that can produce enormous private rewards while distributing risk more widely through the economy. This focus is important because it distinguishes productive entrepreneurship from forms of wealth extraction that depend on leverage, complexity, favorable rules, and political access. Freeland also draws attention to the way regulatory decisions are shaped in environments where officials, financiers, and experts often share assumptions and social proximity. The point is not that finance alone created plutocracy, since technology, globalization, and emerging market privatization also matter. Rather, financialization made it easier for a small group to capture disproportionate gains and defend them as market outcomes. The 2008 financial crisis provides a crucial backdrop, showing how private upside and public vulnerability can coexist in systems influenced by the very people who profit from them. Lastly, plutocratic influence turns inequality into a problem of political power. The book argues that extreme wealth is not only an economic condition but also a form of political power. Freeland emphasizes that plutocrats can influence tax policy, regulation, public debate, philanthropy, and institutional priorities. Their influence does not always operate through crude corruption. It can appear through lobbying, campaign finance, expert networks, charitable foundations, elite conferences, and the revolving door between government and business. Philanthropy receives particular attention because it allows wealthy individuals to present themselves as public benefactors, while also setting agendas that might otherwise belong to democratic institutions. This creates a tension between generosity and accountability. A billionaire may fund valuable work in health, education, or poverty reduction, yet the choice of goals and methods remains concentrated in private hands. Freeland therefore frames plutocracy as a challenge to democratic equality. The danger is not merely that some people live extravagantly while others struggle, but that concentrated wealth can guide public choices without the same obligations, scrutiny, or representational limits that apply to elected government. In conclusion, Plutocrats is best suited for readers interested in inequality, global capitalism, business journalism, political economy, and the relationship between wealth and democracy. It is especially useful for readers who want more than a moral critique of rich people. Freeland provides a framework for understanding how the super-rich see themselves, how their fortunes are produced, and why their influence extends beyond private consumption into public life. Policy students, journalists, executives, economists, and general readers can benefit from its synthesis of interviews, historical context, and institutional analysis. The book is less useful for readers seeking a detailed reform program, since its strength lies more in diagnosis than prescription. What makes it stand out from many books on inequality is its inside view of the global elite combined with attention to political consequences. Rather than focusing only on poverty, wage stagnation, or national income statistics, it examines the social world and self-conception of the people at the very summit. This perspective helps explain why inequality persists, even when its dangers are widely discussed. Plutocrats remains valuable because it connects numbers to networks, personal narratives to institutions, and private fortune to public power. If you would like to support Christia Freeland, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.